It's hump day. We love that here on RBKD. Today on the show, start to dig into Texas and Oklahoma State. I figure out what the Pokes are trying to bring. They bring something that Texas has not done well. We'll get into all that. Got some player audio, also coaches audio, including Mike Gundy. We will dig into the NFL, kind of what's going on this weekend a little bit. Start to take a look at that, including the Dallas Cowboys, who are red hot. Who should they maybe go after? Trade deadline, getting closer than we think, and they could use maybe a little help, but not much. And we've got off the record, kind of all over the place here. We've got J.R. Smith stepping into a beehive. It's going to be a fun show. This is RBKD. He went from DB High to DBU, somehow ended up in Detroit. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone, yet does discriminate against white condiments, has never had vanilla ice cream. He's an All-American. He's a football theorist. He invented that name, although a lot of us were doing that when he was in diapers. Kind of feels like that. But he's taking it to another level because theory has gone to another level. He is the one and only Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, a lifetime Austinite, a conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. My man was a reality TV star before it ever was a thing, and yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you and your whole team. He's my man, my co-host, Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
Doing well.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. We're back at home. It's been kind of weird coming here all the time
now.
Yeah,
for a few straight days. That's never the case during football season, but we'll be out amongst the people once again tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Actually.
Randall's, Westlake.
Yeah. Boom.
We'll see if that hits your list. It's an HEB list, but you could do a Randall's list, too.
Yeah, I could. It's an HEB list, but
Westlake may hit it. We're going to hit a lot of stuff. So, John Gruden, continued stuff on that. Lincoln Riley is not exactly going, he's actually going opposite of Barry Switzer because Barry Switzer was doing the spying. So we'll figure out exactly what's going on with Oklahoma and why they're canceling stuff. We got a midseason All-American team. We got Art Acevedo suspended in Miami. Rod, we have a full show, but we're going to start with, how has Pat Sajak been on that show for so long?
That's what you want to start with?
Yeah. We'll get Texas OSU.
I'm sure people are very happy about this. You'll start off with
John and I were talking about it before. We've got too much other stuff. We don't have time to fill with that later on. Pat Sajak and Vanna White have been doing that forever.
They've been doing it for
ever,
a while.
Ever.
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing it for a minute. I mean,
you can do those shows.
The game show gig is the best gig.
It is. You film them. You film a bunch, and you do it in a very short time, so that time sucks, but then
best
you're off
around.
The rest of the time.
Yeah, it's the best gig
Alex
around.
Trebek had that.
Yeah, you can't beat that game show gig. I mean, that's why they never leave them, right? If somebody gets a game show gig, you keep it forever.
Right. I hadn't watched Wheel of Fortune in years, but I saw Pat Sajak out there last night, and I looked at John. I go, John, how is this? And John thought it started in the 70s. I go, no, it started in the 80s, but it was early, mid-80s.
It's been around for a minute.
Been around our whole lifetime.
But he's been doing it for what?
The whole time.
The whole time?
Pat Sajak?
The whole time?
He is Wheel of Fortune.
They never had any other host.
No.
Pat Sajak. Wow.
Wheel of Fortune started in 83, and Pat Sajak started in 83.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that. I didn't know it went back that far. Yeah.
What a gig.
It's a great gig. All you got to do.
And they would, during filming, he talked about this in one of their books, I believe. This was 20, 30 years ago, because it's been around forever. He and Vanna would go to this Mexican food place across the street during tapings and would have a bunch of margaritas. And apparently we'd come back, and John, you said you saw some stuff on YouTube where it's like, yeah, Pat's definitely gone there.
Had a little bit too much of the sauce. Yeah, he's kind of slurring. He's like, how are you doing today?
I got to look that up.
Yeah. I never watched it that much, honestly.
That's
a great game show, though.
My mom was so good at that, or is so good at that.
Wheel of Fortune is probably the best game show because I think everybody can win. Like, most game shows, like a winner take all, but everybody can win.
Oh, yeah. You take something home.
The best home. For everybody in the scenario.
Yeah, like everybody gets to win something. Most game shows, kind of a winner take all scenario.
You're right. Jeopardy.
You get screwed. Second,
dude, I won 90,000. Doesn't matter. Ken or whoever won.
Yeah, exactly.
200, yeah, 95 or 200K.
Yeah, so they win.
So you're going home empty handed. All right, that's enough. Just wanted to throw that out there.
I learned something new. I didn't know he hosted it the whole time.
83 on?
It's got to be the only game show host that's ever been the case for.
My conspiracy theory is that he got replaced with a robot like in the late 90s.
He could have.
Technology.
Hey, Chuck Woolery lives in Austin. Remember?
Yeah. He got in trouble on social media a couple of times.
Oh, did he?
Putting stuff out there.
Wrong political stuff or actual stuff?
No. I don't know if he's been canceled or not, but I know he's kind of controversial.
Well, you could just say two takes. And two.
Huh?
Be right back at you.
Yeah.
Classic line. All right, let's get into Texas-Oklahoma State. And this is a huge game for Texas because you have a bye week after that. And obviously, how do you, rebound off this? And what type of metal, to use Sark's phrase, do you have? And can this team really be resilient? And this is also an undefeated team. We've talked about them. If you can look at the undefeated, but this is not the Oklahoma State team you probably know or remember or have seen, certainly in the last 15, 20 years and under Gundy. But Gundy has adapted to the talent he has, and it is a run-first team. They don't have much through the air. Spencer Sanders has been okay. I mean, it's been very Spencer Sanders, where he'll throw for 83 yards against Boise State in a win, and then a week or two later throw for 300.
Yeah.
And because he is a dual threat guy, and when he's on, especially through the air and taking care of the football when he's running, watch out. That's when this team could actually really be damn good. Right now, to me, they're just average, but they're undefeated.
Because they have it's kind of like Texas, right? I put out on Twitter that basically Oklahoma State's the bizarro Texas. They win with elite defense right now, elite special teams, but below average offense. Texas is the flip side of that. They win with elite offense and special teams and below average defense. So it'll be strength on strength. And this will definitely be the biggest test that Oklahoma State has had so far. No question about it. In terms of that Oklahoma State defense, that's the phase of the game that's really become the identity of the team. And give props to, and I talked about it yesterday, give props to Mike Gundy, because he was the one that kind of wanted to usher in this new philosophy when he got Jim Knowles there, and he decided 5-6 years ago to stop recruiting specific positions in the back seven on defense and want to go to more positionless football. Now, he said it was harder. It took more. It's like baking something from scratch as opposed to using the Duncan Hines or the Betty Crocker, right? Mix, right? It's easy to use the mix, but as you know, as a foodie,
could taste better.
It's a taste a whole lot better if you do it from scratch, if you know what you got to know what you're doing.
But you have to nail it.
And you got
to
nail it.
Because
if you don't nail it,
I'll go back and forth. I'll go from scratch, but I'll use Betty Crocker if I don't think that I've done this enough, and let's just make it good.
Yeah, and if you don't nail it, then you're right. It could be an absolute disaster. So give Oklahoma State credit, because for Mike Gundy, it's worked out really well for him. He's kind of reinvented that defense. And, some people said, they haven't played anybody this year. They only played Baylor and K-State and Boise State. And I get that. I totally get that. But the defense is legit. I think offensively they're so inept that Texas is going to win the game. I really don't have a doubt about that, because they just can't score at all.
It's a 5.5-point favorite, or they are, for a reason.
Yeah. The offense, just as impressive as the defense is, the offense is just as unimpressive. And when you have a model like this, right, when you want to win with controlling the game by running the football, and when you want to win, it is a great – I heard Dave – I believe his name is Dave Hunziker, the play-by-play guy for Oklahoma State. He was on with Light the Tower. Those guys always do a great job. And he actually said, I want to make sure I get it right because I took some notes, because it was unbelievable. He said that Mike Gundy, when they were going into the Boise State game, he told Casey Dunn, the offensive coordinator, I want to run 55 plays offensively. And Casey Dunn said, what? You can't do that. It's like offensive. That's like coaching malpractice. What
Texas
do you mean?
Ran 61 for comparison against OU.
Against OU,
and that was 20 less than OU ran, and that was part of the difference.
If Texas could have got five more plays, it might have been the difference.
Were they out of position? Were they not tackling well? All that, yes. Yeah. Were they gassed also?
That's a great point.
Yes.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Right. So that plays where he said, because Gundy wanted to kind of control the flow of the game, I want 55 plays. And he said, well, I can't do that, coach. It's going to be tough. And he said, and based on Hunziker's story, he said, well, just try to come damn close.
Yeah,
right? They come damn close because they were so injured offensively. They had no wide receivers. He said they had two freshman wide receivers, like basically two wide receivers making their first start, and like two freshman walk-ons that were playing. Matter of fact, the guy who made the game-sealing reception was a freshman walk-on for them. So they're winning in a lot of different ways. Remember, I told you they benched their starting kicker.
Yeah.
They gave him a quote-unquote week off just to get his head together. And then they took a transfer kicker and let him kick because their kicker was missing a lot of crucial field goals for him. So they've been winning. See, I think the kicker's name is Alex. I think it's Alex Hale.
Alex Hale.
Is that what
sophomore,
it is?
Sophomore, yeah.
He was struggling a little bit, right? They thought he was going to be a great kicker. He was struggling. So they brought in Tanner Brown, a UNLV transfer, and he sparked the kicking game. So now the kicking game, Pro Football Focus has
him. Sparked the kicking game. What is this, Butch Haddon coming in 90?
No, but Pro Football Focus has him as the best special teams unit in the Big 12.
Okay.
And you know Texas is right up there, too.
Texas has been good this year.
Texas has been really good on special teams.
And people will point out individual things. You're offsides there. But overall, they've been good.
They've been making plays.
Yeah.
They've been making plays. And especially
they've been sound.
And Tom Hutton is their punter. So they're winning kind of how Texas did when Texas had, you know, long ball Dixon here.
Yeah.
Right? They're winning that same way.
Herrera.
Yeah, they just pinning teams deep, and they got a really good defense. And their defense, the best thing I like about them when I watch the film is the sudden change. Because Spencer Sanders, as you know, and we've been saying for a while, he's a turnover machine. He's got four interceptions this year. He turns the ball over a lot. He had three interceptions in that Baylor game, and they held them to 0 points off those turnovers. They had three and outs on all three interceptions. That's legit. That's why, and last year, if you look at SP Plus and defense, Football Outsiders, defensive FEI, which is their advanced metric about how to measure defense and offense, they do it all for SP Plus, same thing. They had this defense as the 14th rated defense in 2020. And SP Plus had it as the 18th best defense in 2020. So this has been a slow build up for this defense. It'll be the biggest test they have so far, though, no question. Because Texas offense is elite; it's top five. I'm concerned about the Jordan Whittington injury.
Yeah, it's top five with stats. I mean, but it has holes. It's not like a normal top five offense where you face that and you go, oh my God.
No question.
How do we do something against them?
No, there are
obvious ways to get after them.
Yes.
With pass protection and run blocking.
Yes.
And there's a lot easier things to actually stop.
Yeah, Bijan is the hardest thing to stop.
It's the hardest thing to stop.
And then, because the passing game is easier to stop because it's just, you got to get pressure. You get pressure on the quarterback. And then you can shut down the passing game, but you can affect the quarterback.
And with Whittington out, you're not nearly as scared about some of the, certainly third down and middle of the field type weapons. So we'll see who steps up for Texas. They're a 5.5-point favorite for a reason that really hasn't moved too much. And I think the reason is, even though Oklahoma State's undefeated, is that Oklahoma State, like you said, there's just not a lot of punch to them. But they've been a good football team that has been able to win games. And, you know, you look at that Boise State win, 21-20. I still don't know. I mean, there was just a lot of luck in that. Like, for anyone, if either team would have walked out and said, we beat you, people don't like to hear this. Sometimes there's just really stupid things that go into football games. And no one did win. And no one did beat them. And there's a lot of – and that was one of those games where, with no dog in the fight, I'm watching and thinking – this could have been anyone's game. Give them credit. But mm-hmm. Boise State goes on to beat BYU. Boise State, all of a sudden, you know, that win on the road looks a little bit better. This is not that cyclical, really down Boise State team that we rarely see. So give them love on that. They return a lot of starters on defense. You know, we talked about that preseason. They returned eight guys, and it's a lot of those very versatile guys that you kind of talked about yesterday in Rod's Rant of the Day.
Yeah.
And
that's how
they're recruiting. So they've got some athletes, and they're going to obviously try and stop the run. You know, one thing Casey Thompson proved that we thought Alex Grinch would do is force them to go over the top. And he went over the top and actually hit some of those. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice to have that threat heading into this game despite the loss.
Yeah. No, and Oklahoma State is not afraid, so they'll go man-to-man. They won't have Trey Sterling because I thought he was one of their better DBs, but they just got a really good crop of safeties and nickel corners and DBs.
Sterling could be big, though.
Trey Sterling, but he's been out for a while. I mean, they've gotten used. He's been out for like four games now. I mean,
Is it four? I thought it was two or three. Yeah,
he went out. I think he went out second game of the season, so three games. But he's been out for a while, so they've adjusted to it. But their corners on the outside, they'll play man-to-man. Christian Holmes, Jarek Bernard Converse, they're not afraid to play man-to-man. They like those guys playing bump and run man-to-man. I'm not worried about that with Sark's receivers as much because he uses a lot of compressed, condensed sets, a lot of bunch formations, a lot of motion, so they'll free up the wide receivers. My concern, though, is Jordan Whittington's absence. And Chip Brown had a really good stat about how effective he's been on third down. Says here via my man Chip Brown, 11 of Jordan Whittington's 24 receptions have come on third down for 194 yards. 9 of those third down receptions sustained drives to points, including 8 drives for touchdowns. So that's 54 of his 359 yards receiving this season came on third down. And the reason that this is big is because now you need not only another wide receiver to step up, but I'm sure that Oklahoma State, now if they're smart, sometimes they'll decide to roll coverage in passing situations or even just straight up double Xavier Worthy because all that speed, the explosivity, you got to take him out of the game. And then force a Joshua Moore, who had a great game versus Oklahoma, but can a Joshua Moore beat man-to-man coverage on the other side against adequate corner? And their DBs are more than adequate. So that'll be the question because we didn't see Joshua Moore really do that in the Tom Herman offense late in the season. But in the Sark offense, even though now he has been kind of weaponized early on, he was not very productive. But now he'll be featured a lot more, and the hope is that he can win his one-on-ones because that's what he's going to have to do. Because I think the double team and the coverage will be the attention of it at least will be diverted to Xavier Worthy. He's got the gravity.
Yep, I'm with you. Oklahoma State is 9-26 all time versus Texas. Yet they've won 5 of the last 6 matchups. We talked about that with TCU, and that's something that Sark in his first
here in Austin.
Just overall.
Overall.
Man. Yeah, 5 of the last 6 games against Texas. Actually, no, you're right. That is in Austin.
Okay.
Yeah. No, because they would have had a couple of those. Yeah, in Stillwater, they've actually.
Yeah.
They've made some plays where you're like, whoa. But yeah, in Austin, which is, it's weird. Yeah. And they obviously have not been great here overall, but they've done really good job of keeping Big 12 opponents under their scoring average. 14 of the last 16 have been held under their average. You know, we're very slow to adapt, and understandably so, if there is a character trait or a narrative that is true, that is built on a certain program or organization. And we just have to look at this team differently. And you did a good job yesterday kind of getting into that a little bit during Rod's rant about just how Gundy will change, man. He's one of those fish that will change colors.
Yeah. Right.
And
great
all of
point.
A sudden you don't see him and you're like, whoa, he's something different now. And so this is going to be more of a physical game. This is where I look at both lines of scrimmage. And at the end of the day, Texas lost that against Oklahoma. We'll see what Tope Amade at right guard. What he looks like, you move Ankalau to left guard, and you move Kerstetter, I think, back to definitely his best position. To me, that's all about Derek Kerstetter. That the other stuff is kind of all in between. And you know Ankalau can probably play either. He played left guard, but he was at right guard. Who do we fill in? What's the best spot once we have Kerstetter at right tackle, Ankalau either at left guard or right guard? And they thought Tope Amade at right guard. We'll see how that plays out at 361.
Yeah, because I think Tope Amade may struggle in pass protection, but I think they're banking on the advantage they're going to get in the run game having someone so gargantuan because he's huge.
He's huge.
He's 6'6", 360.
With zone blocking, which is usually fit for the skill set of someone who can move.
It's a great point. Yeah, so we'll see. Because some people can move and carry that. We'll see if he can. Yeah, but if you can't, it could be.
If he's really stretching and getting wide and blowing someone away,
it's going to be impressive.
And I'm going to be more pissed off than I was during the Kansas State game last year.
Because you're going to be like, why didn't you do this earlier? We asked you to make some personnel changes. They refused. Why didn't you do this earlier? I agree.
But there are probably going to be some holes there.
I'm guessing so. I'm guessing that maybe in pass protection you may get them struggling a little bit, but we'll see. I mean, I like them that they're experimenting. I think it's necessary at this point because you lost Denzel Okafor, and now after what happened at Oklahoma, you know they say the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing and expecting different results. That'd be insanity. Just throw the same old line out there against a defensive front that's also really good.
No, Carrick got worked, and there's no doubt about that. And I wanted to see them experiment with him, not in the situation they did.
I know. That's a good point. I agree with that. That's why you wanted
up 17.
It earlier. You wanted it versus a Rice and a Tech. Maybe.
Early against Rice, earlier against Tech, and kind of see where that was.
Okay.
But on the right side, he'd been playing some left tackle. On the right side as a backup, right side. it was no good. So just be nimble, be flexible with all this. Understand that you've got a lot of issues and deficiencies with talent, and that you're going to have to experiment a lot.
Yep.
This is going to be early on in the
first year.
Early on in the recipe.
That's exactly right.
Where you are doing, it's like
tasting it. You're like, you know, man, what?
I put 11 types of sugars in there in terms of
I screwed up the sauce
amount and everything. Yeah,
I screwed up the sauce. I got to throw the whole thing out. Yep. You know what? Got to start
it
from
sucks.
Scratch. It does.
But it's the worst part of it.
But if you want to get it right, that's the trial and error process you got to go through. I totally agree with you. I agree with the point they should have done it earlier, and I think it may have kept him from, you know, potentially losing a game because of the experimentation. You know, because of the trial and error. So I would say this about Oklahoma State, though. They're going to copy your boy Alex Grinch. I know you're a big Alex Grinch fan because of the slanting and the very aggressive games they play up front. They
simulated blitzes.
Simulated
usually.
Pressures, all those things. You're going to get that from Jim Knowles. He's going to try to copy that with his guys up front. And I think also, you know, on the flip side of that, trying to test the lines of scrimmage, which I think you're worried about and what all Longhorn fans are worried about, they're going to run the outside zone.
Yeah.
They're going to run the outside zone.
Crazy not to.
You'd be crazy not. After watching Arkansas
Gundy's
film,
too smart. They
you're
going
to run a lot of the outside zone.
Yeah, you got Jim Knowles. You mentioned Casey Dunn. Shout out to the family.
Kinfolk.
Yeah, kinfolk. Third cousin.
Really?
He is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Darian? I thought Darian Dunn kinfolk too, right?
Darian's second cousin.
Second cousin. That's right.
You have to go to the tree to figure that one out, but it's true. But Jim Knowles on defense. Look, Texas is also, you're getting to that point in the season where we had talked about how relatively healthy Texas had been, and they had been, and they're still dealing with talent deficiencies and coaches that aren't doing a good job of, certainly on the defensive side, of maybe working around that or working with that. But you got Jacoby Jones who's out, Jordan Whittington out. Sark talks about what they got to do.
Welcome back to RBKD. It is a way back rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day right here on RBKD. Per the conversation that you started off the show with, KD, about how long Pat Sajak has been hosting Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, 83.
Which has been
I was
forever.
Five.
I mean, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I'm 41 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
going on 40
most
years
of my
there,
damn
man.
Life he's been hosting Wheel of Fortune, and I did not know that until KD brought it up. My man CB says when they lived in California, his parents went to Wheel of Fortune and were in the audience. And last year when they were planning his dad's funeral, he found in his USAF uniform and in the pocket was a Wheel of Fortune keychain that they had gotten from the time he was there.
Wow.
Talk about a random connection.
That's crazy,
yeah. Man. Yeah. Shout out to my man CB there.
Right.
So there you go. I mean, I don't know if it was going on when you were up there because I don't know how long Cash Cab's been going on there. But I love Cash Cab.
It was going on.
Was it going on when you were there?
I always try to look for it.
I loved Cash Cab, man. Still to this day.
Because if you watched it a ton like we did, and I watched it a ton. I mean,
quality show.
Saw the Cash Cab when I went up there.
I'm a history
nut. You saw the Cash Cab?
I did, yeah.
Oh, did you really? Wow.
When I was in eighth grade, when we went up to eighth grade trip up to New York, and this was how it would be back in 2008, actually. Yeah, I saw the Cash Cab. We were on the bus, and we got a picture of it.
That's cool. Yeah.
You can see the lights, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. You see the little, there's like a little black bike balls hanging from
that
the ceiling, which are the cameras.
Yeah. Nah,
and that's my picture is blurry, but maybe I can find it for you so I can prove it.
That's a quality game show. That's a quality.
No, it is.
That's one of the ones that's
I
very
love trivia
innovative.
Shows. I like learning. I like history. I like testing my brain against stuff like that.
But Wheel of Fortune is all about, you know, kind of, it's all about your recall and stuff. Wheel of Fortune's good, too. It's not trivia, but it does test your mental capacity, like how quickly.
When I was a kid, I stopped watching around my mom because she ruined the game.
Oh, really? She would guess it with, like, only two letters in it?
Two letters, and there's 28 other letters out there.
Yeah,
and
she
would nail it. I'm like, this isn't fun.
Yeah, it's not fun to watch.
I'm trying to play here.
I need somebody who is not as good at it.
Right. And also, I thought, why don't we get you on?
That is true, too. If you're that good at it, you need to go on. Like, Craig Way should go on Jeopardy. He probably wouldn't win it, but he'd hold his damn own.
It'd be fun, though.
It'd be fun, though, to watch him. Yeah, no doubt. All right, that's enough game show talk.
So yeah.
You started this damn thing, game show conversation.
I didn't start this segment, though.
Well, it's true, but it's the same.
Started a four-hour show. We're going to hit a lot of football with it for like 5 minutes.
All right, well, another 2 minutes devoted to game show conversation. All right, let's get back to football. Let's get to...
Favorite game show.
Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a favorite game show. Mine is probably Family Feud. You know the one I want to go on? I want to go on Family Feud.
Okay.
But I got to make sure I got to get the right family members. And now that I'm married,
you're right about that.
Wifey's good for it.
It opens it up.
It opens it up. Now I got a larger family to choose from.
You got to build out like a team.
I got a draft.
Like the Giants.
Yeah. Well, like what Giants?
San Francisco Giants.
I thought you were talking about the New York Giants.
I'm bringing a couple offensive linemen.
I'm not building my team like the New York Giants. They drafted Rod Babers. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
I'm going to build it like Tampa Bay. On a budget.
You know what? It may work depending on which Tampa Bay. Not the Gruden Tampa Bay champs. I'm talking about the Tom Brady champs.
No.
All right. He's already been canceled. You hear they took his name.
I'm already kicking people out of the Hall of Honor.
They took his name off the Hall of Honor. Boom. Super Bowl champion.
I don't
coach.
Know how he's going to live you out. Not being in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Hall of Honor.
Well, I think it's symbolic.
I know it
of the
is.
Shunning.
It is. It
of
is.
The shunning.
It is.
That's what it is. It's
of
symbolic
all the things
of the
that
shunning.
Are going on, that's probably the last thing on his mind.
It probably is. He's got a lot going on.
The only Hall of Honor I'll give some love, and even then, the fans take it way too seriously, and it's still cheesy, is the Cowboys.
The Longhorn Hall of Honor this weekend.
The Cowboys. No, I was talking pro teams. Longhorn one is good too.
You backpedaled on that one pretty quickly.
No, I mean I'm just not into Hall of Honors.
I'm not into Hall of Honors either. It's not my thing.
It's like our profession.
I'm not into Hall of Honors.
It's people give way too much love to someone in the profession only because they want that reciprocated.
Yeah,
they want that back.
Yeah, I mean the Hall of Honor thing. I know there are a lot of great players that need to be recognized, but oftentimes it just kind of dilutes the conversation about greatness and goats and, you know.
I agree.
And, you know what I mean? And ultimate climate. Like now, you know, everybody, oh, that guy's great. He's in the Hall of Honor. It's like, oh, okay.
Everyone gets a trophy aspect.
There's an aspect to that.
Which is a huge aspect to our culture right now.
Yes. Well. It's a great podcast about that, too.
Yeah, there is.
The theme is that.
You got to check that out.
Damn good show this week. All right, let's get to, you guys did not talk about the Heisman odds for Bijan because you had bigger fish to fry when everybody gets a trophy. But when I saw this at 24/7 Sports, and they actually had some Heisman odds from, I'll make sure I get the sports book correct here for all of my degenerate friends out there. They actually had some from Caesars Sportsbook. So I got a couple. I got one from Caesars, and I got one from the Yahoo Sportsbook, too. Everybody's got a sports book these days.
They do.
Sportsbook.
No, it's been moving that direction.
Yes.
For a little while.
It is.
You've given some rants on it. We've all kind of seen it over the last couple of years. But it's just.
Barstool's got a sports book. I mean, everybody's.
It's there.
I mean, the Horn's going to have a sports book pretty soon. I mean, that's going to be a Horn sports book.
I think we already do. It's just not
just
known.
Unofficial.
Yeah, it's unofficial.
That could be true. All right, so Caesars Sportsbook.
I have buddies that put lines on high school games.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Degenerates. I'm not trying to get away from that.
No, I've heard of that.
But
yeah. No, I've heard of it, especially in Texas.
And they argue it.
Especially in Texas.
Last year with North Shore Westlake.
Oh, I could believe that.
Trampy puts it at -3, and he gets a lot of crap from his Houston guys.
Yeah.
You think those white boys are going to beat North Shore? Final score?
Well, we got to make it racial.
No, they did.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. I'm getting on them. I call them degenerates. I'm not backing them up at all.
Oh,
and it was white guys saying that, of course. It was me talking about safeties.
Was he John Gruden?
It wasn't brothers saying that.
It an email?
It was not an email. It was a text chain.
Okay.
Which is the next
you're
thing.
Safer.
Watch
you're
out,
safer.
Though. Watch
if they
out,
come out
though.
The text chains, then you know what?
What's the same thing? It's supposed to be private.
Then nothing is going to be sacred. You know, nothing. Come on, emails. He said that to a business, like, acquaintance. You're not supposed to be sacred.
It's beyond stupid.
Yeah, you can't do that to
beyond
a business
stupid.
Acquaintance. But texting is more personal and informal. Don't we agree?
I agree. Right? I agree.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Anyway, final score of that -3, Westlake. Westlake 24. North Shore 21. So.
And Westlake's the number one team in the state right now, right?
Yeah, that was last year.
I know
we're
talking
last
about rankings
year, yeah.
and stuff now, but yeah, they are. Craig always talks about the computer they have. They have a computer. A crowd of Craigway is BSing or not, but I think he's freak for real. That like kind of basically predicts Texas high school football, Texas high school football games.
Okay.
He could be BSing, but he always prefers to it over the computer, says this.
I think he's talking about Rick Renner.
All right, moving on. Caesar Sportsbook, Heisman odds. Right now, Bryce Young with the best Heisman odds at +180. And, you know, after that loss to A&M, I bet, you know, that's That's cooled off just a little bit. Matt Corral of Ole Miss, who had a big rebound performance after his disappointing loss to Alabama.
Yeah, but that loss.
That loss was a bad one.
I'm not even putting it on him. They were more physical, but come on.
It was a bad one. It was non-competitive. It was like Texas versus Arkansas. They never really showed up. What did Lane Kiffin say before the game? Get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready.
And they threw the headset. We do not.
That was for all the people on Twitch.
We didn't appreciate that enough at the time. We just moved on. Our attention spans are so short that we just move on.
How did I start the Monday show, though?
I know. That was.
Yeah.
You got to get on Lane Kiffin, man.
I literally started it with get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn
RBKD.
Ready. No, that's right. No. I agree.
We had a much better performance.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it wasn't hard to do
no,
that. The
bar was
really
low.
CJ Stroud, third best Heisman odds. He's at plus 1,000.
What are we doing with this?
That's what I said.
If y'all vote for this and then, you're voting for people like any of those three.
But then they got Bijan, fourth best Heisman odds at plus 1,500.
So
with Desmond Ridder of Cincinnati.
So a guy who's on a 4-2 team that doesn't have a good offensive line, and there's not a lot of. And the one huge national game, or the two national games people looked at, he was shut down in one.
That's a great point.
And was good in the other, really good when he got touches, but they lost in, I won't say historic fashion, but it was national
news. It was historic. They never had a 21-point lead in the history of the program.
I'm talking historic nationally speaking.
That's historic nationally speaking.
Not really. But
what do you mean?
It was a bad loss. We'll agree on that.
That was a bad loss. I think it was historic. We're going to disagree on that.
For Texas history, yes. No doubt.
Yeah.
Technically, it's historic.
Kenneth Walker, who's the Michigan running back, who has been Michigan State running back.
And let's not pass by Ridder. Ritter's been really good.
He's also tied with them at plus 1,500. So you could have a dark horse.
Actually have those three ahead of the first three.
So those are the top six for the Heisman odds based on Caesar Sportsbook.
And you can have Young in there. I get it.
And then if you want some dirt, they threw Kenny Pickett from Pitt in there at plus 4,000. I think we're getting way deep in the weeds on
that. By the way, if you have not watched Pitt and Pickett, Pickett's really damn good.
I haven't watched them that much.
He's good. He's the best Pitt quarterback. Okay. God, I'm trying to just go on my. Maybe the best Pitt quarterback I've seen in my lifetime. Obviously, he's 76, and there was the 70s where they were really –
still says a lot.
Early 80s. No, I mean, Pickett can throw it.
What
man.
Classification is he?
I think he's a junior.
Okay. All right. No, that's it. I got to watch him. I'll make sure. And there's a Pitt game on him.
No, he's a good quarterback.
You got to try to DVR me a Pitt game.
Although I disagree with, like, Heisman stuff.
Yeah, no, but you said he's good. I want to watch him.
He's good.
This comes from BetMGM and Yahoo Sportsbook. I guess they've merged somehow. Their Heisman odds, Bryce Young at plus 200. Matt Corral tied with Bryce Young at plus 200. CJ Stroud at plus 800. Kenneth Walker at plus 1,600. And then Bijan Robinson, plus 2,000.
Can I tell you about this right here? This is wide open.
It is wide. I think it's the point why you want to bring it into the...
Yeah.
Bring it up as
it's
a
wide
conversation
open.
Topic. It's wide open. I mean, Bijan technically could be a finalist. I don't know if he can win it. Because like you said, he's already at a disadvantage. You made a great point. His two big national games, he wasn't the storyline. You got to be the storyline of the big national game. And
I don't blame him for
it.
Either.
Yeah, no, it's not. I'm not saying it's his fault, but he wasn't the storyline.
He wasn't.
Yeah, and he was great, actually, in the Oklahoma game. They just, late in the game, they took him away, or they allowed, Texas allowed them to take him away.
There was so much penetration, there was nowhere to go.
Yeah, there was nowhere to go.
Second half, OU was Arkansas the whole game.
Yeah, and you know what? How about this? If Texas loses another game, if they lose to Oklahoma State, go try to get Bijan to the Heisman Finals.
Yeah.
Right, because at that point, you're not playing for the Big 12 title game anymore. Yeah.
So 1-2, right? And it was, okay, you convince Ricky to – we always look at that after the fact.
That's a
great
point.
But he convinced Ricky to come back.
He did.
And they're 1-2.
Yeah, so Ricky's probably like, you know what, man?
What the hell?
Right?
It's actually the day he started smoking.
I'm
kidding.
You know why he started smoking.
I do.
It was that's out there already, though.
Dare
major
you.
Apple
it's away. Already out
it's
there.
Already out there. He said that, so I can say
they're
that
they're fine. Everything worked.
Yeah, okay. I don't care. But he married her.
Yeah.
Major.
Ricky's happy.
It'd be different if he didn't marry. You married her. He may have been shady at
the
time.
There's not one college girlfriend I had that I look back on and go, what if?
Yeah.
But either would have continued or even the ones that you break up, it's like, no.
Yeah, it's a violation of the G code, though, to...
Not saying that.
To
I'm
bang
not saying
your teammate's
not. I'm
girlfriend.
I'm not saying it's
especially
not.
Especially when you're in the same backfield.
Yep.
You're in the same backfield, you're going to yep. bang your teammate's
I'm
girlfriend.
I'm with you.
That's a violation of G.
John, is your girlfriend coming up here tonight? I always love talking with her.
I'm just saying, that's a violation, but they got
married.
She
loves cats.
So it all worked out in the end for everybody. Anyway, all right, let's get to NFL MVP odds real quickly while we got some time here.
John's just shaking his head.
John has no part of that conversation. BetSided has NFL MVP odds. They got Kyler Murray, best odds, tied with Justin Herbert, actually, at plus 400. I disagree with these odds, by the way. Josh Allen at plus 500. I think Josh Allen right now has just as good odds, if not better, than Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert. He's right there in that conversation.
I think they're all pretty damn close.
Maybe
man.
They should all be plus 400.
Dak, I would throw Dak in there, too.
They got Dak, or they got Tom Brady ahead of Dak at plus 600, and then Dak at plus 650. That's bet-sided. But
I actually like all five of those compared to the six that we got with the Heisman.
The
Heisman
was
throwing
terrible.
Out. Look, CJ's been better than people think,
but come on.
And that hadn't been their issue, but that's just Ohio State quarterback, right?
Yeah, exactly. After what we've seen from Ohio State already on the big games already, no. I don't think he can. But I'm with you. I have no idea who's going to win the Heisman.
For a lineman or linebacker or someone
or
like that.
Or the best actual player.
The best actual player.
Not the best quarterback on the best team.
We all start doing that.
Yeah, that'd be
whoever's
nice.
Whoever's voting for the Heisman.
This would be a great year to do it. You're right. It would
be a great year.
Because you don't have a front runner. And it's been a really chaotic year in college football.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a lot of parity.
A lot of parity. You might have a sense. You might have a, you know, now a group of five team get into the college football playoff this
you
year because
could.
It's been so chaotic.
You know, I always laugh at that. But this year, if we get down to it, then I don't think Cincinnati is a playoff team. But I may tell you that with everything that's going on at the end of the day, we still have a lot of time left.
You
man.
Said the powers are down. All the powers are down.
They're down.
Clemson, you know, Bama's down for Bama is one loss.
Yeah. Oh, they're down.
They're down.
4-1. What are you talking about?
But they got Bill O'Brien. They're down.
They're down.
real quick.
I don't think it hurt Bryce Young.
Don't think it's a break here. Bet Online has Josh Allen with the best odds. Yeah, I like that. Plus 450. Tom Brady, second best odds at plus 500. He's tied with Dak. At plus 500. Then they got Justin Herbert at plus 625. And then Kyler Murray at plus 650. And DK Sportsbook, Josh Allen plus 400. They got Kyler Murray at plus 500, second best odds. And then Dak tied with Justin Herbert at plus 700. So Dak got a shot this year.
Definitely
in the
has
MVP
a shot.
Race. He's got a real shot, man.
And I think they're going to continue to win and put up numbers.
Yep.
Now, the one thing that could take away from him is that their running game is so 1-2 punch good.
They got potentially 2,000-yard running backs. They're on track for 2,000-yard running backs.
That could pull that off, whereas Kyler Murray's going to have to do stuff. And you can talk about Jones and Fournette, but that's still going to be Tom Brady,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think Josh Allen has the lead to me because he's going to be a running quarterback.
That's great.
He's going to have so many of those types of plays.
Yep.
That's going to help him out a lot. And Kyler Murray, too.
Kyler Murray? No, both those guys.
Both
those would be my two favorites.
Because they're going to have those highlight plays.
Highlight plays,
yep.
And they can run. Some Heisman odds, some NFL MVP odds. We will, sporadically keep you up to date on that. Lincoln Riley, there's some good stuff going on in Norman.
Drama.
Barry Switzer apparently was on I-35. Not him, but had a spy looking at Texas practice.
I've heard that story.
Back in the day.
That's actually pretty smart.
It is. Now you've got a student OU newspaper that's doing that to OU to figure out the quarterback situation. We'll get into it up next. This is RBKD. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Way back Wednesday, old school hip hop. This was never one of my favorites, but it is one of those that people recognize. So, John, still good job on your part. And
oh, yeah.
I actually kind of like when you play some that I don't like.
I don't like this one either. I actually despise this song.
I do, too.
But, people love it. When you play this song, like, out, even now, people go, oh, it's my jam.
No,
I love this
my
song.
God,
like,
how nostalgic are you? And I'm a nostalgic
song.
Guy.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah, it's a terrible song.
I know.
People love it.
I think I've been treating you guys a little too nice with my musical selections for rap, so I need to remind you that there's some guilty pleasures throughout the
90s. Is this one of yours?
Ooh, I mean,
I like it.
Wow.
I don't hate it as much as y'all do, but I didn't live through the era where this was really popular.
And that's it. You can tell Rod and I, like now, hearing it once, every 10 years, whatever, but
oh man,
when you heard it all the time,
right.
Especially because it was on the radio, you hear it, it's like,
turned. What are you it playing
was,
it yeah. again?
No, it was one of they played 8, 9, 10
all
times a day.
Time.
You might hear it in your car on the radio. Then you'd go into a business establishment. It'd be playing there, and you
yes exactly right? yes bingo
and then,
Rod.
And you go work out somewhere. It's playing there.
God,
and then you'd go
you
out,
stop playing.
You go
this?
Out that
club.
Night. It's playing there. You're like
go
damn
to
it.
Three clubs.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
And it, all three clubs
yes,
play it four times.
That's exactly right. It was one of those songs, and there are a ton of those types of songs, and it was just. You got to the point where it annoyed you.
It did.
It had to. If it didn't, I don't know. I judge you.
I know.
It's annoying. If you lived through it, but John, you didn't live through it.
Exactly. Yeah. I can escape the song.
This is how we
do
it.
This is how we do
it. So bad.
Like,
so
right,
bad.
Just stop. All right, how about this story? So a reporter, this has been covered by a lot of people. Carson Cunningham, who... I'm friends with, or at least we're cool with
okay.
being in the same industry.
Yeah.
And he's been on the show before. May get him on. Covers Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Oklahoma
okay.
City.
Nice.
Does a really good job. Fair, subjective, all that stuff, right?
Okay.
And I saw he was the first one to kind of report it. Then Reddit College Football jumped on it. Lots of people have jumped on it. Reporter for the OU student newspaper used binoculars from a public building to report that Caleb Williams was I love this. Doing practice with first team reps.
Doing
what
practice.
Is this, Chad and Pot.
He was.
Are you doing the pot? Are you doing the beer?
He doing is playing the football.
Oh, that is great.
Are y'all doing the sex?
Doing practice.
God,
that's great.
I don't think you've ever been involved in any of that.
Hey, it's fantastic. You wouldn't have put the work in. Get the binoculars
I guess
out.
So. I guess so. But apparently he was practicing with first team reps, and then the reporter got quotes from Spencer Rattler's dad, and Lincoln Riley has now apparently canceled all media availabilities the rest of the week. I don't think that's smart, Lincoln. But
why? Why is it not smart?
One, because you know I don't think you need to be as nervous and as insecure as Mac was with the media. And that was way too much of Mac's focus, honestly, the whole time he was here. Now, he was able to change that a little bit, and it just ate him up early on in his career. I know that as someone who asked him after the 2004 12-0 loss in the media availability after the game and just said, and he was so pissed at me that I could be an Austin guy and ask this question. Whoa, easy, man.
Yeah.
I'm doing a job, and if they run Antonio Perkins on a cornerback blitz, 71 times throughout the whole game, and you and Greg Davis
don't adjust it.
Don't have
that.
An adjustment to that with Vince Young and that offensive line and all the talent. This is not the discussion we're having right now with the Texas talent.
Yeah,
that one definitely was all on coaching, almost 100%.
Well, for like 3 years there.
For like 3 years
yeah,
there,
it was like the end of my career.
God,
and like
he got
the beginning
so pissed.
Of...
He looked at me and yeah. gave. The biggest pregnant pause he's given because Mac usually
staring into your soul.
Mac usually just
he's like, I thought you were a friend. Is that
right.
is that look like?
Yeah.
I thought you were a friend. You're not a friend of the program.
And I asked him. I said, did you guys have adjustments set up? And if so, what were they? Yes, multiple ones, and then moved on.
Yeah,
it's
he
like,
did want to give you an
on,
actual
man.
Adjustment. Yeah,
right.
He's like, get
but
it. Yeah.
With all that said, you can go too far on that direction. But also, you still need to. You don't want to penalize 98% of the people that cover you if it was one kid who's doing it for the student newspaper. Like, ban him. Go for it.
Yeah.
Ban him for the rest of the year.
So is that the reason?
And say, no, that's ridiculous.
Is that the reason behind it? Is that because they were spying on practice? Is that why Lincoln Riley said he canceled the media availabilities?
But all media availabilities?
But is that why he said he canceled it?
I mean, it's not
I,
why, but
I,
or it's
I,
not why
no,
he
no.
said, but it is why.
Okay, if that is why. I'll...
There's no way
theory.
This timing didn't fit.
No, no, no. It could
like
easily
this.
Be it. I think it's because I think Spencer Rattler potentially wants to leave. I think they got a lot. I think he
probably
potentially
so.
Wants out. And I think he doesn't want people, like coaches or players asked about the
talking
quarterback
about
situation
that.
And them being
that's
put in that
point.
Position where
that's
they're going to have to say, yeah, actually he set out practice. He said he didn't, he's, you know, he basically said he didn't want to practice. You know, whatever, I'm just talking
no,
about whatever
I,
rumor or whatever is out there that
he's
asked about.
It's the bigger picture of why this guy was spying.
Yes.
Why is this guy spying?
Why is he got, now
Spencer,
spot,
if Spencer
right.
Rattler plays the whole Texas OU game and they even lose, is he spying with binocs?
No.
Probably not.
Probably not. He's spying for a purpose.
Caleb Williams came in.
Yeah, exactly. And,
the job's open.
Right? And they spoke to the dad, Spencer Rattler's dad. And we know Spencer Rattler has been known to act a little spoiled at times, right? A little self-centered at times. Going back to high school. Even on that, wasn't he on a reality show at one time?
Oh, God, how dare him.
I think he was, not like that. But even on the show, people said like he was very obnoxious on the show.
That's actually how I know that from high school.
Okay, that's what
they said. Yeah, he was on the show.
He was very obnoxious and spoiled.
And there was a receiver that he claiming wouldn't get open. And he's probably right, but just like the way he treated him and it was in front of all the coaches, it's like, man, that's not – bro, you got to be a leader at that position.
You got to be a leader at that position, right? That
you can bust a little balls,
constructive criticism,
not go as far as he did.
Yeah. So I just think that he doesn't want players, coaches asked about it, and then that becoming a big headline and a distraction.
I think you're right. It's all centered around.
It could be a punishment, but I think it's like, he doesn't want people asking about what probably is a really ugly situation right now for them.
So you're right. It's probably not even, it's more of a fake punishment.
It is. It is.
It's a fake punishment.
People think it's that, but he's like, no, I just don't want people asking about this quarterback situation until.
This allows me to keep all of y'all away.
Yep.
And maybe I can turn this into, it's like politicians do here.
Yeah.
Let's let all the people below me fight with each other.
Yeah, and maybe I can salvage this thing, because right now the belief is that Spencer Rattler may want out. Like he may want out.
I believe it.
That he may want
the way he walked off the field.
Yeah, that he may want to transfer a portal out, or may decide, I'm prepared for the NFL draft.
You know, if I'm Lincoln Riley, let him go.
Yeah, I agree with that. At this point, if he's going to have that attitude, I would let him go too.
I said this summer that when people were talking about Rattler being 1-1, you guys, every time I'd go, okay, I mean, we're a little too early on that. That my thought was Lincoln Riley, probably if you could get some true serum in him, that he would tell you that Rattler's not as good as y'all think. He's not 1-1.
Not 1-1.
That's me.
And
so there'd be some ego there, too.
Yeah, I got
that. That's upstairs.
Yeah, nice. I like that.
All right, so we'll see how this plays out. Oklahoma has TCU at home this Saturday, and God knows I don't know with TCU. I think TCU is going to be one of those you don't know who's going to show up week in and week out.
Yeah, I got some stats on TCU we can share next hour.
Beautiful.
I do, yeah.
That's what I want to hear. Hey, we'll get back to college football, also Texas and Oklahoma State. Cowboys getting ready, different Cowboys, ready for New England. We have a judge ruling on Collins and Lyle Collins. Man, he should never appealed, taken that first one. This story kind of continues to move on. We're also getting kind of closer toward the trade deadline. The Cowboys look really damn good. Do they make a move or two just to try and get even better? This is RB Katie on the Horn.